Welcome back. Hello, 2012. This is the Carolyn and Joe Show.
We're here.
My name is Joe.
You the new year, and I'm Carolyn.
Hey, Carolyn, how you doing?
I am having a good new year so far.
That's awesome.
It's only been a few days, but so far nothing bad has happened.
That's good. Keeping it alive. So welcome, everyone. First time listeners to the Carolyn and Joe Show. My name is Joe. This is Carolyn, right?
Let's do
the intro right. Hi. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
And you're in fact listening to the one and only Carolyn and Joe Show. Good God. Welcome. First time viewers, this is what we do on the show. We talk about anything that we want.
Listeners.
Usually. Oh, what did I say? Viewers?
Yeah. Well, like maybe
viewers.
They could just be staring into
the Hi, viewers.
iPod.
Welcome back. Yeah, so again, every Tuesday we bring you a conversation that will either offend or entertain you. That is our goal, to either offend or entertain you. We talk about things from movies, from life, stories that happen in our lives, what we're going through, what's happening in the world, from wrestling to movies, music, whatever, culture. We put this on the culture. We're a culture feed, I guess. I don't know. Is the word feed in? I'm not sure. I don't even know what are the hot words anymore. We are the hot topic. How's it going, Carolyn?
It's going pretty well. I have something to announce, though.
Oh, yeah.
A little bit of business from last year, from 2011. We were actually on a podcast called All New Secret Identity, number 36.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
This was from last year, and we were interviewed actually at New York Comic Con. Do you remember this interview? It was the early morning when we first got at New York Comic Con.
Yes, I do remember that. I do remember doing that interview.
Yes.
Ha ha ha.
They did post it, I guess it was in December, around mid-December, and we never got a chance to actually plug it on the radio show.
Well, let's do that now.
So basically, check out secretidentity.podomatic.com and look for it. And we are in episode number 36.
Cool.
We're like their featured spotlight for that episode for comic creators.
You know what? I really actually, besides doing this show every week, I enjoy talking to you guys. So anytime you guys want to interview me or have us on the show, I'll be willing to go out there and cause a whole bunch of havoc for you. Entertainment.
A whole bunch of havoc.
Entertainment at its finest. The talking finest, I guess. We do other stuff too, but we'd love to be on your show and whatever you want to do. So yeah, so what were they talking about?
They had a whole bunch of reviews in that show. Let's see. They specifically, I think in the shows they review the comics that they read.
Yeah.
And then they have certain segments. Let's see. So in that particular episode, they reviewed Flash Gordon and New Adventures number 18, Star Wars Agent of the Empire number 1. And Justice League Dark number 3.
Nice. 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 I like when people just say that. Nice.
And then this is their write-up about the creator spotlight, Carolyn Bilewski and Joe Carbeo.
That's us.
Brian spoke to the creative duo behind Curl's Studio and the comics Kid Roxy, Black Magic Tales, and the Leggettes at NYCC 2011. For more info, head over to curls-studio.com, where you can also read the Curls webcomic that Carolyn does twice weekly.
Cool.
Yeah, so that was pretty awesome that they included us on their podcast, so I wanted to give them a shout-out back on our podcast.
So who are they again? How can we reach them? What's their number? Phone number? Email? What can we do for them?
I don't have their phone number. I have their email somewhere, but I don't have it off the top of my head.
It's tough talking with this cough drop in my mouth.
Basically, just I was assuming like Google Secret Identity Podcast and probably find it.
Secret Identity Podcast. There you go. Listeners at home, not viewers. Listeners at home.
Yes, listeners at home. You can listen to their podcast as well. Because I'm all about like promoting other podcasts. Because we were doing that like last year too. Because there was a couple of sponsors from Sir Internet Radio.
Yeah.
Smodcast Internet Radio. So we teamed up with a few of them from last year. That was pretty exciting. I mean, I don't know. Do you listen to other podcasts, Joe? Do you try to check out?
The only podcast that I actually really listen to is the Art of Wrestling podcast.
With Colt Cabana.
And sometimes I listen to, and I don't think he does it anymore, Dave Lagana's podcast.
What? He doesn't do it anymore?
I'm not sure. I haven't heard any Well, I haven't checked.
I want wrestling.
I haven't. Yeah, I haven't checked for, you know, I want wrestling, or I haven't checked that in a long time.
He probably still runs the website because
he's working with TNA now and Sanjay Dutt and their TNA satellite, or the, you know, their extra division.
TNA India.
Yeah, so I'm not sure if he has a lot of time to do that or if that's the main focus, but now he's doing that stuff with Sanjay Dutt, who's also always awesome. Yeah, but I've been listening to, I've listened to every single Colt Cabana Art of Wrestling podcast because it's weird.
You're a veteran.
It's not weird. I don't mean to say that. A lot of people just run their mouth and say weird all the time, but I mean that in the sense is, you know, I like the wrestling business a whole lot. That's no secret. And also, I always believe that professional wrestlers and their lifestyle have, like, really super amazing, you know, just stories that need to be told,
yeah.
You know?
I think it's interesting listening to Art of Wrestling. I think Colt is, like, a really good host. He keeps that show lively.
But it's also not too professional. It's very raw.
Yeah,
and
I mean, they record it, like, in, like, a sitting-down situation. It's not, like, super, like, overly produced.
And that's the thing, like, that's, you know, you could listen to something that's overly produced, but, like, that's like watching Glee. That's like watching American Idol at that point, where it's, like, so glossy. Everyone thinks the more production you put it behind something, that the more perfect it is, and I believe it's not true. You know,
yeah.
I believe, like, the perfect productions, in a way, are those spontaneous moments. And, you know, even me, whenever I write music and stuff like that, and when I record it, I always think to myself of, like, okay, I can produce this, or I can keep this intimate, like, recording. You know what I mean? And even that happened when Superface and I were doing recording last week, a couple days ago from this recording, and, you know, one of the members were just playing, you know, they were just sort of playing music, you know what I mean? Like, they were just practicing to themselves, and it wasn't, like, perfect either way, but I was like, wow, this is such a, the way he was delivering in that moment was, like, beautiful, you know?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's the type of recordings I like, are the things that are not so polished. It's almost like you gotta, like, in a way, sabotage things so they're not too polished.
Yeah, it's hard, though, even, like, with graphic design and sometimes, like, art and illustration with the computer. Everything is, like, almost so perfect.
Well, that's what's cool about, like, even, like, learning how to do brushwork and stuff like that with, like,
yeah,
artists and brush pens, is because there's no way to perfectly recreate that. It's almost like this raw, spontaneous brush stroke that you like it to be perfect, but at the same time, the format is fighting you. And I feel like what comes out of that is, like, beautiful in itself, too,
mm-hmm,
because there's no way...
There's no way you can duplicate it.
Yeah.
And it's not like with music that's overly produced that you already have all these sound bites that you can just put right in,
yeah,
every single time.
The Pro Tools the hell out of it, you,
yeah,
know what I mean?
Yeah. But, like, I mean, as far as radio shows, I do listen to Colt. I haven't watched or listened to all the episodes, but I've listened to a lot of them. I do listen to Smodcast occasionally. I used to catch it more when Kevin Smith had a more consistent schedule, but I do try to check that whenever I can.
Also, Smodcast became, like, such a big network. Like,
yeah, they have,
so,
like,
easy.
So many shows on there now. Have you been to their website?
I mean, it was,
like,
easy.
Shows all
it was
over.
Easy for me just to tune in when it was just Smodcast.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and
this morning show.
I'm a massive fan of Smodcast. You know, we're doing a podcast and they're doing a podcast. Of course, theirs is bigger, but, you know, ours now almost running into 3 years now, and theirs is just, you know, the same thing. But they've had so many, like, branch offs and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. Well, they also do the live shows too.
Yeah, and the live shows, it's like, I remember just listening while driving to the standard Smodcast, you know, Kevin Smith and Scott Mosier. I thought that was so great. They're all great, but it's just so hard to like listen to each one, you know?
It would be impossible to, because they have, like, all these comedy shows now, and then they have,
it really is a network, so
yeah,
it's sort of like I just got to tune in for the channel or the show that I want.
Definitely. I mean, they have shows even, like, strictly about hockey, and they have a comic book show.
Yeah.
They have a whole bunch of shows of general interests.
But it's funny, because a lot of times, I don't even, like, for me, with the art of wrestling, I don't even like paying attention to when they just start talking about the business. Because those are things you can get out of any other shoot interview. I like them talking about, like...
Like road stories.
Yeah, like, I love them just talking about their life of, like, oh, look at how Sanjay walks when he does this. You know, like, I like to feel, like, the relationship of the people there.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's really what's important. It's about learning about that dynamic. Because me as a writer, that's, like, something I try to recreate on page.
Yeah. You know what else is good? I don't know how much you've listened to it, but have you listened to Adam Carolla's podcast?
I listened to one Adam Carolla podcast when Kevin Smith was on there, but okay. I do get a good sense that actually I've listened to a few, but I never really went out of my way. It's weird how I never really get out of my way.
It.
And also, like, I can't work when I'm listening to podcasts. Like when I'm like editing or when I'm editing films, I can't work on. I can't listen to anything but this whatever's going on there. And whenever I do edit photos and stuff, I'm usually listening to scores, like stuff we're listening to in the background now.
Yeah. Well, last year we were on two different podcasts. We were on the Mocha podcast and we were on Jellyvision, which was a live talk show that was recorded for podcast. Oh, and also we were on You, Me, Them, Everybody, which was also a live talk show recorded for podcast. So, I mean, I hope we're on a whole bunch of new shows this year. And like, hey, let's say you're listening to this show and you also do a podcast. Like, get in touch with us, and we can swap stories, you know?
Yeah, 2012. I'm trying to work on how getting this thing to be able to record with Skype or whatever, stuff like that.
Yeah, we've never tried that before. It'd be interesting to connect with more people.
Yeah.
So, yeah, if you're looking for us, our email is info@curls-studio.com. And it would be awesome if we can connect and, like, cross-promote the shows.
Yeah.
So, I got this tweet from...
Oh yeah, before we do that, everyone should go out and watch the movie The Artist. Great movie.
Yeah, I did enjoy
that. Get a chance to see that if you get a chance to. So my review for that is...
Do you
want to
do a one-sentence pitch?
A one-sentence pitch?
Yeah. Or like synopsis?
No, go out there.
Go out there and find it and
just find it for yourself, because that's how I did it. No one pitched me on it. Go out there and check it out and
Google it.
And love it, yeah.
The Artist. Okay, so we met this gentleman in... the show Pix, and this wasn't last year, this was actually 2 years ago, so it was 2000, okay, so we're in 2012 now, I have to always remember that. So this was in 2010, Pix, it was Pittsburgh Graphics Expo, I don't know the full name, but it was PIX, and his name is Marcel Walker, and he tweeted me last week, and it said, @Carolyn Blavsky, I want to see your negative 10 list of whatever strikes your fancy. So, you know, I got that while I was at work, and basically there was only, like, maybe two people at work that day. It was, like, right before holiday time. And I basically was like, hey, I should just write him and turn this into a blog entry right now. So I went on Tumblr, and I didn't do it on my regular Curl Studio blog, because it wasn't really Curl Studio specific, and usually I use Tumblr just for fun, so I was like, okay, I'm gonna write this blog. I spent an hour writing the blog, then I clicked, like, the button that basically says to publish it.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there was, like, this big message that just said, sorry, like, we're unable to... post right now at this moment.
It's and weird because I was that's never happened to me whenever I've updated my Go Astray Tumblr, you know?
Like, I've never seen that message before either. So I was like, okay. And then I was like, well, give me back my post. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. Like, where's I was the autosave that
like, there was no autosave. I'm telling you. Because I was on there for a whole hour, like, writing it up.
Yeah.
Like, I was kind of upset because I was like, okay, where's this? Like, this isn't going through. Like, it didn't autosave at all. And, like, because doesn't it usually autosave on Tumblr? Because I think I've seen it before. It saved it as a draft once when I, like, clicked off the page by accident.
I mean, I feel like
it's already saved for me.
I feel like it has, or it can, or at some point.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened on yours,
yeah,
though.
I have no idea. And, like, the message just said, sorry. Like, in big letters.
Sorry. Twitter is over capacity.
No, it was Tumblr.
No, I know, but...
just, like, sorry... And then I was like, it's basically like worse than a fail whale, you know?
Yeah.
From Twitter. And then I was like, dang it, man. So then I even went back on the browser and it was like all deleted. There was like nothing.
Yeah.
So at this point, I'm like, you know, I do want to answer his question, but also I didn't really feel like writing it again.
It's always fun to answer.
I really didn't feel like answering it. I mean, I spent an hour like really like thoughtfully trying to answer him.
Yeah.
I didn't really feel like
And it's always fun to answer people's questions anyway, you know, just to see what you can do. Because, you know, I'm not going to lie, we're not at that point where we get hounded by like, these millions and millions of, like, fan mails or questions like Sanjay Dutt does. But, but any, you know, anything that happens, I'd like to answer anyway.
Yeah. Okay, so he says he wants to see my negative 10 list of whatever strikes my fancy.
Great. Let's start 2012 with a negative hate list. What, this always seems to be the way, because what's not the other podcast?
Yeah, we're on the Mocha podcast.
And they're like, name the four things that you hate the most. It's like, everyone's always hating, man. You know what I mean?
That's the hating. So
everyone loves to hate. That's the way the internet is. It's just all about hate. If there's no hating on the internet, it's sort of just like, well, what are you going to talk about? Hey, what are you going to talk about?
So, I mean, I can remember a few of the things on my blog, but I don't remember it exactly. And I also don't remember the order, because I did have them ordered in the top 10. I can't even remember what my number one thing was. But let me try to remember the stuff that I hate, and I will give you the top 10. But it might not be officially firm. So this is, like, all completely, like, raw right now, off the top of my head. I don't have anything written down. All right. So, things I hate. Right now, I really hate the whole mustache trend with girls wearing mustaches. Specifically, girls wearing mustaches. Guys can obviously have mustaches because, like, they have that ability to grow mustaches for real. But I really don't think that girls should be wearing mustaches.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not a good idea. It doesn't look good, and it's not even funny. Like, I don't know. What do you think, Joe? Do you think that it looks funny or
cute? I don't
cute
even, like, how did it, like, first and foremost, how did it even start? Like, well, how did this start?
How I found out about it was at my last job. Do you remember Brandy?
Yeah.
Okay. She, you know, she's a pretty hip lady. You know, she likes girls, and she went up to New York for a weekend once. And this is, like, probably 2000, let's see, maybe 2000... Nine, if I'd like to say. So this is pretty early. This is like before I ever knew that girls were wearing mustaches. And she came back from New York, like, all, you know, I guess she had a good time. She partied it up there. She came back with a mustache. And, I mean, she didn't, like, literally walk into work with it, but she showed us, and she was, like, saying that it was all the rage up in, like, the bars in New York.
But she's gay, though, right?
Yeah.
So was this a gay thing?
In my opinion, that's what I first thought of it was. Like, I was like, okay, I guess the gay bars and, like, that scene in New York.
So do you think this mustache craze that's taken over has basically, you know,
I think underlying
of lesbian gay culture?
Yes.
Of the acceptance of Glee and the people, you know, and stuff like that?
Yeah, I'm not quite sure exactly where it came from, but in my eyes, like, since she's the first person that exposed me to that trend,
yeah,
like, I feel like that's where it kind of started.
Everything always sort of starts like that, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, and especially up in New York. Especially, and then it just feeds especially back these down. Days. But nothing now I feel it. Like, and there's nothing wrong with it, but now I feel like I'm like, I see it everywhere, and I'm like, okay, it's not even, like, funny anymore. Like, I guess it's, like, girls trying to be guys. Like, it's kind of funny, but then it's also, like, I'm kind of over it.
Well, it's sort of like, what are people going to take photos of with their new Instamatic on their iPhone or yeah. whatever they do?
The Hipstamatic?
You know? The Hipstamatic, yeah.
It kind of crosses over with, like, the hipster thing.
It's a straight-up, like, I mean, hipster thing.
Like, the girls wearing mustaches.
It literally is a straight-up. Hits,
and then
hits
now it. The new thing is, like, people are putting mustaches.
I don't see people with metal. I don't see metal guys wearing that or comic book guys.
Well,
doing
like
that.
I see people, like, have a mustache, like, mug, and they can put the mug, like, they're drinking, and then there's a mustache on the mug.
Yeah.
Or, like, they have these, like, mustache tattoos that they put on their, like, pointer finger and then put it up to their nose.
But
like,
what's
oh,
what
I'm
is,
wearing a mustache?
Yeah, but what's the payoff?
It's just something fun to do. And then people put mustaches, like, on their bikes. Like, nice. You know the little, like, cart where your bike is? They're like, oh, my bike is a mustache, and I'm riding it. I'm giving a mustache ride.
Maybe I can balance that with my Who Cares sticker.
Yeah.
That we're going to make into mass production.
Mass production. All right, so that's only one down of things I hate. Now I'm trying to
How
remember.
Many were you supposed to do?
10.
10? Okay.
I mean, I guess you can contribute to some of them. Or you, if you know of something that
Me
I hate.
Me contributing to a hate list? I don't hate anything.
See, that's the hard thing. It's like, I don't
no,
like
I can go through the roof with how many things I dislike.
I mean,
that's just part of my character. It's part of my gimmick.
In general, I could just say I hate people.
Well, I already do.
Like, I mean, in general, I try to find, like, at least one thing about everybody that I like. So it's hard. I'm trying to think of like what else I strictly hate though. There's
single,
so many things.
Single human beings are great. I love them. Like especially when we have chemistry.
Like one on one.
But like these massive
groups and people in groups.
Like group decision making in groups and in massive amounts of people just does not work to me.
Yeah, I'm gonna put that on my list.
As
in,
what?
In not any particular order, but that's the second thing that we mentioned. Just people in groups making decisions.
We'll call that the sorority decision making. Sorority communism at its best.
Yeah, I don't know. It's just like, it's not a good thing to have like this whole public, like making everybody happy. I don't think like it's possible. It's just really impossible.
I mean, also at the end of the day, making everyone happy is,
it's a good goal, but it's like, it's just never going to happen.
I almost say that like, it's guilt in a way, because it's like, you know, I guess if you guys listen to me on the show, you know I'm sort of honest into that sick humanistic way. And making everyone happy it's really, at the end of the day, it's sort of really stupid. But it's also really naive. And it's also sort of like, to admit that you don't do that looks bad. You know what I mean? Because in this day and age, it's like, well, this PC, now you can't be, everyone wants to be nice, or everyone wants to be, you know, no one wants to be perceived as negative. So if you're just like, well, I don't really care about making everyone happy, I want to just make myself happy. People are going to be like, oh, well, she's so full of themselves, blah, 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 blah. Like, and you know what I mean? But it's at the end of the day, it's like, you're talking about like an impossibility here, making everyone happy. Because think about this, in the other side of the coin, it's like, okay, you want to make everyone happy. Well, those people, a lot of people are not going to be happy that you're trying to make other people happy. Take that account. There's one strike. You're not going to be able to make those people happy. Already, you've already failed.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, because it's, you're going, yeah, you can try. Maybe just be, instead of trying to make everyone happy, how about just be a nice person? Or not even a nice person, just be an honest person or a good person. Nice and good, I think, are two different things. Because nice, being nice to people is like looking at little crippled Jimmy and being like, oh, I need to help that person, because it's the nice thing to do. A good thing to do is let's motivate little Jimmy to be the best person they can do so they can fight through that. Nice, charity. Good, real. That's the way I do those perceptions. See, it's like if you go out your way and try to make everyone happy, you realize that no one gives a flying fuck what you think is what you think.
Yeah,
you know?
They'll just like walk over you somehow. Yeah. Anyway,
and that's the tooth. You know what I mean? That's the tooth.
That is the tooth. That is the tooth, Marcel.
But like, you know what? I'm not going to stop anyone from trying to make everyone happy. Or you know, if you're like, oh, I just want to put smiles on people's faces, but just you know, understand, just take in the obliviousness of it that it's going to be impossible to make everyone happy. But it'd be great if you just, you know, even went for it.
Or basically, how about this? Just, like, don't hurt people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean,
well, that's impossible.
I mean, well, that is impossible, but to the point of, like, when you're, honest, you know in your head that you're, like, trying to hurt somebody, like, that's not good.
Honest and good. You know what I mean? Honest and good. Honest to yourself and good to others. You know?
Yeah.
And you know, I understand people are not going to be able to do that every single day because, you know, that's the way life is. Life is a bunch of ripples. You know what I mean? And you'll get caught up in some, and then there'll be another one coming from a different direction. Stay afloat and rock out.
All right. So now let me try to find a third thing that I hate. Let's start off this new year with a bang. Something that caught my eye last week in the news is this thing. I think it's based out of Chicago, and it's called Homeless Signs. And basically what this graphic designer is doing is he's taking the typeface Helvetica and making a pretty basic sign. It's just on 8.5 by 11 white paper with Helvetica type that just says homeless with a period at the end of it, as if it was a sentence. So homeless, period. And then what he'll do is print that out and laminate the sign and then make a little rope around it so that the homeless person can wear it like a necklace. And then what he's doing is like getting a lot of press from this. Like it was in the Chicago Tribune, it was in like New York Times. Like those are big media outlets.
Yeah.
And it's just annoying to me that first of all, like I just want to say as a designer, Helvetica is very overused. And one of my New Year's resolutions as a designer is to only use Helvetica in body type.
Is that like when Troy was overused for the typeface Troy for all those movie posters?
That's Trojan.
Or Trojan.
Trajan.
Trajan.
Yeah.
Look it up. Look it up, universe.
And but
look
it was up. Used for like stuff like Troy and the like My Chemical Romance second album.
Yeah.
Three Cheers for Sweet Revenge. And so basically, it but that was also like a spoof on movie posters. So maybe they meant it to be like that.
Trying to figure out if someone's literally spoofing something on that fine line is always a weird situation.
Yeah.
Because they can always be like, well, we really liked it to, like, it's a cover-up.
To be like a movie
poster. It's a cover-up for the possibility of it being crappy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. But you know what? Trajan can be done well, but it's not overused. It's only overused in, like, certain action movies.
So let's continue Carolyn's hit list here.
Yeah, like, okay, I basically am just, like, really sick of people freaking using Helvetica. Because we use it all the time at work. Like, basically every single job has Helvetica in it, or Helvetica new or... Some people call it Nua or whatever. It's N-E-N-U or something. It's all French or fancy.
Oh, Frenchy.
Yeah. I just, it's just like,
that's
it's
my
like,
French guy.
It's like what, like a lot of typefaces have like two different pronunciations.
And Frenchy,
like
Frenchy.
There's like a French version and then there's like a regular version.
Yeah.
Like I don't understand.
Yeah.
Like people are just trying to be all fancy and stuff. They're like, Frutiger. I'm like, okay.
Anyway. I wish I can be just as snooty as other people.
I think
I'm just more abrasive.
I think honestly that designers can get very snooty. Like basically I hang out with like a lot of cartoonists and a lot of designers. And if you were to like split it down like evenly, like there's like cartoonists are a lot more like good people, but then like designers aren't really as helpful. Like cartoonists, you can usually go up to any of them and be like, oh my gosh, this is awesome. Like, what type of pen did you use? And then they just, like, tell you. Like, there's no secret, really.
Yeah.
You know, they're not like, oh, this is my secret pen. I'm not allowed to tell you. Like, but then, like, designers are just like, I don't know, when you ask them, like, certain questions, like, they just get all weird and they, like, don't want to tell, like, their secrets.
Do you think because there's so much money in play, really?
Maybe. I don't know. But
I almost
I just
believe
think
that.
Art, like, cartoonists are more, like, helpful. They're more like,
well, I also
we enjoy like the trade that much that they want to like help other people.
Also, if you think about it in one case, it's like really like you're asking like, oh, how'd you get that line on your pen? Well, I mean, on your drawing. Oh, I use this pen. But it's also like the chances of that person legitimately
like
copying you to the point of just like, wow, that looks exactly like mine is a risk. I mean, not it's like that's very
minimal
might
risk.
Never, ever happen. Like you might be inspired by it, but you can always find the original. But I feel like when you go to graphic design or any other type of work that can be done on computer or anything like that, where you can directly emulate by programming it exactly the way you did
with math. You
just
press the design button.
Yeah, and then just break it down into your math. I feel like you can deliberately steal someone's presence.
Yeah.
They can steal their soul, their digital soul. You know what I mean? Because, you know, they're stuck in this world, and maybe that's why they're like, no, I don't use typefaces. I wrote that shit with my hands. You know what I mean? That's why they're going to...
They're like, I created my own custom typeface.
And also probably just ego takes into play. And not that cartoonists don't have egos. I bet they have just as much ego as everyone else. Everyone should have a healthy dosing of ego. But possibly the fact of designers, I don't know. Why would you say they have lots of egos if they do?
I don't know if I can say that they have lots of egos, but I can say that they're not as helpful. Like, they're just...
I believe that comes with an ego, too.
Maybe. Perhaps.
Because it's like, they're like, well, why do I gotta help you? I don't know who you are.
But back to this homeless signs thing. So he makes these signs that just says homeless with a period and then please help with a period and stuff like that. And then has his name on like the bottom of the sign in smaller text.
Yeah.
But it's like, first of all, I'll be honest with you. When I'm looking at a homeless person and if they're wearing a laminated sign.
You're like they're not homeless.
Like I would kind of get the feeling I'm like, what? Like, and then
it's a homeless scam, isn't it?
It's kind of like a scam because like now he's like getting press from it, and it's like he's not really like he's all like, oh, the most I spent, I can't remember the exact price, but it was like around $40 or $36 or
yeah.
Something like to make the signs, which is not that much, but you know, hopefully the homeless people are benefiting somehow from these signs. I don't know like the actual outcome. But it just seems to me like if I saw a homeless person, I'd rather have them have a cardboard sign with their Sharpie marker. Like, and then he's all like, well, this sign is better from like weather conditions. And then he said like the cops can't rip it up. But I'm like, what? What type of cop have you ever seen like take a homeless person's sign and rip it up?
Yeah.
Like, I'm like, what are they talking about? Like, maybe it's happened. It's probably happened before somewhere, but like, I've never heard of that. But I don't know. I just feel like he's trying to like corporatize like the homeless and make them have Helvetica nicely designed signs. And I'm like, please save me because I don't want that to happen. Like, and also the some of the pictures of the homeless people wearing these signs, it just says homeless, period. They kind of look like they're, like, I don't know, they're, like, misused, you know?
Yeah.
Like, they're all unhappy with, like, this fancy sign around them, and I don't know, it just doesn't look good. It's not attractive, like, in general. Like, homelessness is not attractive in general.
It's not an image that you want to have used for marketing.
Yeah, and also, like, as a designer, I'm like, really? Like... I'd rather have...
But we always see all these images of, like, sad and beat-up dogs or, like, all these kids in Africa and they're all just begging for money.
Yeah, like...
Do those work just as well as these homeless ones?
I don't know. It doesn't really work for me, you know? Like, I think that there's a better project you could do for the sake of design to raise money for homeless people. So, for that, I'm gonna say I'm not really feeling that. So, That's in my list.
Another one on Carolyn's hit list.
Get rid of homeless signs. Doesn't really benefit anybody.
So to take away the negative connotation from this list, we just call this the Carolyn's hit list. As opposed to, like, the negative things that you hate, you know?
Yeah. And also in the article at the New York Times or wherever that one was online, it said, like, the period at the end of homelessness just adds to the impact. They're talking about it as if it was, like, a piece of art or something. I'm like, what? You just typed in Helvetica. Like, it wasn't even, and then people are like, oh, it's so nicely designed and clean. And I'm like, what is just Helvetica, on a piece of paper?
Clean,
like,
yeah, you know, words on white.
Yeah, I mean, like, I'm like, I just...
Is it as clean as is a plus sign on a white piece of paper?
But I would rather just have a nice, like, sign with a Sharpie marker on a pizza box. Like, stuff like that, like, to me, that's a real design.
Yeah.
Like, Helvetic, I could make that homeless sign and it doesn't matter, but I guess since he's the first person that did it, he rules, so.
That's really what it comes down to, man. Being the first person to be recognized for doing something is almost as important as to create it.
I give him credit for, like, getting the attention of, like, New York Times and such, but.
Yeah.
I mean, I wonder what his connections are, because really, it's not that great of a story.
It's a story, though.
It's a story. Man, maybe they were looking for stuff at the end of the year last year. They're like, oh, this is nice during Christmas time. We can talk about the homeless people.
I mean, that's exactly the thought process of any, like, publisher or editor. It's like, well, what could we fit here? We couldn't buy an ad in this spot. Let's make this spot happen.
Yeah. So what else do I hate, Joe?
I don't know. You tell me, this is your list.
Oh, my gosh. You know what does annoy me? Stuff in food that is, like, really trendy. This, I guess, kind of branches off from the mustache thing. Like, certain trends right now that I'm not really digging. Like...
What, like, things being labeled as, like, organic or something like that, or...
No, in foods... Like, specifically, I'm always seeing a lot of cupcake stuff. And also bacon.
Is there a lot of bacon going on?
Bacon in, like, anything. Like, they even have bacon cupcakes.
Bacon's so bad.
But I even saw bacon candy canes this year. Like, bacon... It's just, like, everything is bacon, and, I mean, to a certain extent, bacon, you know, I don't dislike it, but it's just, like, almost like... It's, like, the new, like, food trend that they're just trying to put bacon with any food combination.
Now,
like,
I haven't...
Bacon and chocolate.
I haven't eaten bacon in such, like, a long time, because there just came to be, like, a moment... I mean, like, a lot of times on movie sets, like, in the stuff where I work, you know, breakfast and all that stuff in the morning, like, you usually have, like, a big, giant vat of, like, bacon. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And...
So bacon in large quantities is just...
Well, just, you know, I was looking at that, and I was like, first thing, I was like, wow, this is really great. There's all this food and awesome stuff, like, around us. You know what I mean? But then I come to think about, like, I'm like, wow, I can eat all this bacon. Or I can just not eat this bacon, because, like, I've never really had a great feeling after I've eaten bacon. Like, there's certain foods, you just don't have a good feeling. I just don't have a good feeling after I've eaten them, and I've tried to really just take those away.
I have that with donuts. Like, yeah. As I'm eating a donut, I'm like, this is delicious. Yeah, like, and I love all the types of donuts. But then,
yeah, there's no payoff. You know what I mean?
Like, for me, after I eat it, it just sits in my stomach. It sits there like a brick.
Like, literally, I feel like the food that I eat now, I just want to have a good payoff. And the payoff usually is, how's it settle and how's it taste? And, you know, there's certain things that just, like, with bacon, I was just like, well, crunchy, crunchy, and that was, tastes good. Now it tastes like shit, because it's just, you know, it's just like this chewed up fat.
I guess, like, what it is now is you have, like, the salty-sweet combination. So, yeah. Apparently bacon for people that really like that combination, which I actually do, and I actually do want to try the bacon chocolate for the hell of it.
Yeah.
Just to be like, okay, I tried bacon chocolate. Here's what it is. Like
bacon chocolate?
Yeah, like that's bacon apparently chocolate? That's the big deal. Bacon chocolate. That's the big thing.
Obesity now, man.
I know, really? Like, let's merge all these things. But, like, I don't know. Like, I will try it. I'm not against bacon, but I'm against, like, I don't know. The trend is a little much. It just seems like bacon everything. And I feel like people are just doing that just because it's something to do.
It's just let's keep ourselves occupied. Let's start a podcast. It's stuff like that.
Like, weird... this is what I think's gonna happen.
What's that?
Basically, in life...
In
all of life, not everything is certain at this point. Like, the internet's taking everyone's jobs. Like, nothing is super secure. But the things
technology is taking people's jobs.
That the internet falls under that.
But yeah. I feel like, you know, when you have... Even, like, the creation of Photoshop and the creation of these... new cameras and
or like
the creation
self-checkout of self-checkout.
These, yeah, like
grocery store.
It's like really, our dreams are coming true. You know, all of our technology dreams are coming true. Whoops! It's also taking away these jobs because it's making things easier. And isn't that what we really wanted, to have an easier life?
But if there's all these people in Earth, and specifically in America,
who are just doing these mundane jobs that they never liked,
they didn't want to really, you know. The self-checkout you can do yourself, or you can have a person.
Yeah.
But, I mean, I don't know. It's like, the thing with self-checkout's kind of dumb is that it always messes up somehow. Like, if you do it right, you can do it right if you're buying, like, a few things. If you're buying a lot of stuff, you're bound to have, like, that warning come up, especially at Walmart, where you have to place it in the area that you... like the bagging area.
Yeah.
They're like place in bag and sometimes
taken out of bag.
Like what if you buy like a chapstick and it won't register it?
Yeah.
And it's like put item in bag and you're like I just did, but it's like not reading it. And then basically someone that works at Walmart has to like come by and like swipe it that they like approve that it's in the bag.
Well, it's also just a case of like beta testing. There's like just with any technology these days when you bring out something, it's like of course you're like crap, why didn't we think of that? But with like when you have stuff like that, it's like, well, they really should have fully tested it more.
Yeah,
later
I mean,
on.
I guess you're still
Walmart,
giving
so.
Like you're still giving one person a job because that person has to monitor the self-serve checkout.
Yeah, but now
they have to monitor like four lanes of self-serve.
But aren't they beta testing new stuff now? When you just go around with your own like, what's it called? Your own scanner, or you can dial it in. I've seen those at Giant that go and you can just scan it and then you just put it in there, then you pay.
See, but for some reason, I feel like someone would be untrustworthy and not scan something.
Hell yeah, because
and then just walk out.
Humans are untrustworthy as shit. No matter what they say, man. They're all a bunch of liars.
I mean, they might scan, like, most of their food, but then maybe, like, a couple things snuck in. Oh, how did that get there? I forgot to scan.
You're going to have to, like, really fully enforce, like, some sort of, you know, I don't know, like, scanner technology for everyone before you leave.
Maybe in the future... you just have everything, like, on your ID card. So you go into the store, you put everything in bag, you leave the store without going in a checkout. But basically, when you leave the store, everything will register under your name that's in your cart. That's probably what will happen in the future. But what if two people leave the store at the same time and it double registers? You have to figure out what was in each person's
so
cart,
much,
stuff like that.
So much testing, but, you know, once they make it work, it'll be pretty amazing, right? No one will need to work in there. Just walk in there with your thing, and then...
And how are you supposed to, like, put the boxes up on the shelf?
Robots
will do that?
They will find a way. They will find a way.
How are you supposed to check the expiration dates?
It all should be regulated before you even get to the door.
Oh my goodness. So then who's going to open and close the store?
Really, this is what's going to happen. This is the future that I see when it comes to those types of stores. It's just going to be one giant vending machine. Just like how like you have soda machines where you just push the picture. That's exactly what you're going to do. I want cereal. How about some of this? You know what I mean? Because like all those things were all those moments of like making the place look like a marketplace.
Mm-hmm.
Or like in Subway where
they
make
like,
this
strategically put certain things in the front.
Yeah, all that stuff is just for entertainment purposes. you don't really need to watch someone put potato salad into your into like a cup and bowl. That's just that's
you
just
need
for
to measure it though.
Yeah, well, it can be measured without you looking at it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And you're like, I like that lobster right there is really good. Actually,
but they're giving people a choice of which one they want.
They did have a vending machine like that in Vegas. Yeah. Where you could push.
Oh yeah, in
and
Vegas.
Choose that lobster.
In Vegas, they had like a how much was it? $2, I think.
What, for lobster?
Yeah.
That was like $15.
No, but
because they take it and then they cook it there.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't guaranteed that you get it. It was one of those toy ones. Like, you know the toy machines that you see at Chuck E. Cheese where you put in 50 cents and has the claw?
Yeah.
Like, the claw.
No, that's what I'm talking about.
No, but, and then it had that, but it was like a lobster cage.
No, I know. Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
But it wasn't guaranteed that you actually get the lobster.
What, the claw would just search for it?
No. Like, basically, you have to, like, remote control the claw and get, like, the lobster. And it was, like, I think $2 to play.
Yeah.
But they would cook it for free if you got it. That's the deal. But what I'm saying is, like, let's say, but that just shows you how hard it is. You really going to pay $2 for a lobster? Do you know what I mean?
I mean,
but it's, like, the same thing as the toy thing. Because what are the odds of getting a toy? Like, whatever, that machine is 50 cents?
I bet the odds of getting that lobster are a lot easier than getting those toys that are impossible to get from the claw.
The claw from Toy Story.
Yeah.
But it wasn't a, just so you know, it wasn't, from what I remember, it wasn't a guarantee lobster.
What was a guarantee? Nothing?
You're
guaranteed a good time.
You were guaranteed that you get to maneuver the claw.
I like that because, I mean, I like... It's weird because that, I guess we'll call it vending machine, lobster vending machine, wasn't even in one of the better casinos in Vegas.
It was in like the rundown casino.
You can get a lobster from the $2 lobster.
I don't think that, maybe, what if that claw machine doesn't even work and it just like drops and then they're like, that's it.
See, maybe the future is just going to be overly, overly simplified, just like how everyone wants all their products to look like Mac. I want a whiteboard and an apple. So you
and
just push.
Helvetica.
You just put an apple. Yeah, that's what everyone ends up wanting. I don't really want that. I like a little dirt and grime in my life.
Do you know what that also reminds me of? The My Chemical Romance, blind or be Better Living Industries.
Yeah,
like I believe that typeface was very similar to Helvetica. It kind of like is reminiscent of that type of feeling.
See, everyone sort of wants things so simple like that. That's what, you know, it starts with the remote control, and then all of a sudden you get all these, now your babies, all they have to do is look at a square. Pretty much what's going to happen, I feel like, in that little phone, in that one shape or that iPad shape, they don't have to go to school. They just look at that, and they can all connect into school, and now they have cameras there. You know what I mean? That's it.
Oh, man.
After that, they just, you know... After that, before you're even born, they'll just start programming information into your head.
So how is there a way to, like, be happy with technology? Like,
I mean, lots of people are happy with technology, aren't they?
Well,
because of,
some
you know,
people aren't, because we've been bringing up some negative effects.
Yeah, but taking consideration, those are from people who have seen the transition. Who've seen, like, oh, look at vinyl, and now I have FLAC files. Or that people don't even use FLAC files. But but digital files. But people who are grown up, who are growing up, who are born now...
They are going to look at a record player and be like, what the heck is this?
They're going to look at fucking the TV and be like, why is it like that? Why is it there? Why is it so big?
One of my coworkers was saying that like her 7-year-old found their cassettes in the basement and was like, what's this? It's like a cassette.
No, but that's what like, I'm saying. Like, that's what I'm saying. It's, you know, the generational gap or the generational technology gap is, you know, it's an amazing point right now because you can have people that, you know, little kids, 2-year-olds, who are basically just entertained by looking at a phone. A phone! A phone! That's how amazing. Are we still going to call it a phone? Should we even still call it a phone?
Yeah, it shouldn't even be a phone. It's like a computer and a phone and a camera.
Yeah.
And a recording device.
They're going to get,
and
everything's going
to
be,
back to you.
Everything's going to become wireless. It's basically, everything is just going to be...
It's going to be called Siri.
People are going to create this thing called a puck, right? You push the button, all of a sudden you got holographic encircled casing where you can do anything. And all the buttons are now just virtual and holographic. You can push it, you know what I mean? And you close it, you know, and stuff like that. And you can, you know, just like how Tony Stark had, like, in his
heart?
Yeah, or in his, you know, in his studio or whatever they placed. You just had things
Stark
that stuff you just virtually touched.
Computer talked back to him, too.
Yeah, so that's what people want, so they're going to get that eventually. You dream it, they're going
to
make it happen.
And there's no way to combat it.
Yeah. You dream it, they're going to make it. If you want it, if you want it, and if you're willing to pay for it, they'll make it for you.
Yeah. Basically, it all amounts to how much money you want, how much money you have.
That should be the Deco tagline. Deco, you want it, we'll make it.
I like that. Trademark. You want it, we'll TM. Make it.
I think I'll go put that on the Deco, DecoFuture.com website now.
Okay.
You want it, we'll make it.
Awesome.
Deco
I like
Future.
That.
Deco Future.
Just don't use Helvetica.
Deco Future. You want it, we'll make it.
So, okay, back to the hating thing.
No, what's next on your hit list?
I'm probably not going to get, like, to all 10, so that's
We've only been to 4.
Well, we won't get to all 10, but I'll try to make something up right now. Okay, so something that I hate is haters, which is, like, totally, basically, a whole roundabout of this whole conversation. But, like, I don't understand, like, how people hate things so much, to be honest.
Did you say that on the other podcast we were on? You're like, I hate haters.
Yes, and everyone just laughed because, like, the whole thing is about hating.
It was interesting to see people's face-to-face reaction whenever you have to list things that you hate. Because, you know, most likely, out of shadow of a doubt, people are going to be like, they're going to like the things that you said you hate. Like, some people are going to like human beings, you know?
Yeah, they're like, what? How dare you?
You're like, I like people. I stand up for the human race. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Or like, I like bacon. How dare you say
that? Yeah, fuck you. Fuck you, bacon hater.
So I'm sure I'm like offending somebody right now. But like,
well,
hating,
as well as we
but the
should
thing
offend
is like,
somebody.
Hating the haters. Like, I just want to say, like, it's fine if you don't like something. Okay, fine. But sometimes people get so fueled, especially on the internet.
Well, let's break down what a hater is first.
A hater is somebody that's always complaining about everything, and then they have to like announce it on the internet and just hate it.
Well, maybe that's the one thing that's a... Maybe it's not the hater that you hate, but just the announcer is what you dislike. It's like, did you... Like, a lot of times I've read on anywhere... Majority of the times it's on Facebook, or it's on message boards.
The worst is, like, on YouTube comments.
Or YouTube comments, where it's just like, wow, did you really have to say that out loud? How much more of an ego do you have to have, or, you know, that you have to write a fucking giant paragraph under a message board? You know what I mean?
Of, like, why you hate something.
It's like that. It's like, well... In my head, I'm like, you know, these people who made this video won't get this letter.
But also, the other thing is like, if you hated it so much, why did you, like, take that time out of your day to write that?
Because they fucking love it. That's why they're a bunch of liars.
Yeah, they, like, have a love-hate relationship, I think.
Yeah.
I mean, because if you, like, I just don't... And then also, like, their language that they use goes a little overboard... Stuff like that. And it's, oh, they'll be like, I hate this song. This is a motherfucking song. I hate this shit. And it's like, in my head, I'm like, it's just a song. Like,
it's even worse.
Just all you have to do is just like click off that browser.
It's even
like,
worse when it's
go to
clearly,
a different page.
It's so amusing when it's clearly this person who's doing all the whatever quote unquote hating or whatever that they're so stupid and ignorant. You know what I mean? Clearly did not research why they hated anything. They just went on their first pure instinct, and boom, your stupidity is forever locked into the archives of the now World Wide Web.
The WWW. But yeah, like, what I don't also get, here's another thing. Why do a lot of people hate the Black Eyed Peas? Like, I personally...
Because they're mainstream.
I don't have, like, I don't have any of their albums, but I will say, like, in general... Like, I think their music is okay.
For one thing...
I don't hate them, but I don't understand why people are like, oh my god, they suck so much, I'm so glad they're on a hiatus or broke up. Because
people are like that. I believe people like that, or opinions like that, are louder than nice ones.
But I don't understand, like, why everybody hates them specifically. It's not like they're like... I don't know what other bands are, like, super hated, but...
Nickelback.
Well, Nickelback is pretty hated, but like also they also sell a lot of records. They're rock for people that like soft rock.
But don't you have a concept why they're hated or why they sell so much?
Yeah, it's because it's like soft rock for people that, or it's like rock for people that don't. That, like, they don't rock out all the time.
It's formulaic. It's formulaic. You know what I mean?
It's, like, for people that, like, they're like, oh, my God, I'm rocking out. Yes, Nickelback rules.
I'm a bigger believer of, like, real, you know, rock and roll is dangerous. Art is dangerous. You know, these things should be freaking kicking walls down. You know, and there's nice stuff out there, too. There's the pretty tree stuff out there, too. But that's usually in response to people being like, why is it gotta be so dark? I'm gonna make it all nice. You know what I mean? That's, and then that in itself is like danger. But when it's so formulaic and there's no soul behind it, I understand how it's just like, this is bullshit. You're not even trying to do anything.
But it's not like horrible music. It's like,
I can't guess because I've only heard those singles.
I mean, but it's not like, it's not horrible. I don't know. I guess people just hate too much. And we'll close the show with that.
Well, I hope they love just as much as they hate. Because I'd hate for a person.
But people love to hate. What do you get from that?
I don't know. I mean, at the end of the day, as long as your opinion actually means something, that's great. And as long as you know you're saying it at the right time, right place, and you're not wasting your energy on something else you should be doing, like if you're not spending your whole day just writing hate, they'd be all right.
Yeah.
Because we need those opinions. Because or else how are we supposed to persevere and show what's wrong, right?
Yeah.
How's a revolution supposed to start when no one even has an idea that we should be making a revolution now?
I think people in general just need to focus on
the
positivity.
We want it all. We want it all. 2012, Carolyn, here we go.
Here we go.
Here we go.
We're in the future now.
First show of 2012 has been finished.
In the bag.
In the bag once again. This year is going down in flames. We want it all.
Give it to us.
That's right. My name is Joe.
And I'm Carolyn.
Thanks for tuning in, guys. Check out curls-studio.com, astrayproductions.com. Look up me, Joe Carabale. Look up Carolyn. Karen Bilevsky. Google us. We're there, and we're causing trouble. Catch y'all later. See you later, Carolyn.
See you next Tuesday.